Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day. We thank you for your word. God, I honor you in this place, Holy Spirit. We ask that you just move amongst your people. God, I ask for you to show up as the teacher that you are and teach your people your word through me, God. I thank you, Father God, for this honor, this opportunity to be able to deliver your word to your people, Father God. I thank you for your word, for it is the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path, God. And I thank you, Father God, that we're not in darkness. We've been called out of darkness and into your marvelous light. And God, thank you for healing our bodies, for restoring our lives, God. Thank you for the hope that is set before us, God, the hope of glory. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for giving us a purpose and a reason to live. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being present with us in this room. We sense your presence now, and we acknowledge you in this place. And we bind the works of the enemy now in the name of Jesus. We speak victory over your people. In Jesus' name, everyone say a big amen. Why don't you give somebody a high five as you find your seat. Praise God. Praise God. Well, this time of year is a busy time of year. Do you agree? It's Christmas time. How many people in here have got all your Christmas shopping done? You're done. Amen. You need to extend your hands towards us because I need a double portion of that anointing. Because we got a few gifts. I will say, not to toot my wife and I's own horn, but we are a little more ahead of the game than we normally are this year, but we still have a lot of shopping to do and a lot of more money to burn through and spend. Amen. And we're enjoying this time of year. This time of year, it's easy to get distracted with all the, you know, with all the hustle and bustle, but we got to remember what this season is really all about. It's about our Savior, it's about our Lord, it's about our King who came and was born on this earth in the form of the baby. God came down, he stretched down to earth, and he said, you know what, it's not enough for me to just be God all by myself up here in heaven, but I'm going to come down to my people because I love them, and I'm going to rescue them from sin. I'm going to save them. And he did that in the form of a baby born in Bethlehem. Amen. So we're celebrating. And next week, I want to reiterate, next week is Gospel Christmas, next Sunday. Amen. At 6:30 p.m. Great opportunity. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were like, yeah, I'm trying to bring everybody from the job, from my neighborhood, all my friends, family. It's a great opportunity for you to invite people who may not normally want to come to church or come on a Sunday morning to this type of setting, but you can bring them out, say, hey, it's a musical at my church. I want to bring you out. Hey, you can offer to get them coffee beforehand or offer to give them dessert afterwards. Whatever you got to do to be able to get them in the house, get them in the house next Sunday night at 6:30. They're going to have an opportunity to receive Jesus, and they're going to be able to see in living color the gospel of Jesus being born as a baby presented to them. And it's going to be a wonderful time. I believe the Holy Spirit will be present. Amen. Last week, I started a two-part series titled You Decide. Everyone say, You Decide. Turn to somebody and say, You Decide. Okay, turn to the person you just ignored and say, you decide. You decide. This message is titled, You Decide, a two-part message. This is the second installment today of You Decide. And apparently I must have did a good enough job last week for them to bring me back this week. So I thank God for that. It got a little hairy there for a second, midway through, but we pulled it out. Praise God. So You Decide. The premise of this message is that God has given you, he's given us, the power to take control of our life. Through his word and through his commands that he's already spoken into the ethos, he's already spoken into the generations, he's already spoken into existence, he's already spoken the promises that are yes and amen, the truths, the principles and the precepts of his word, that we are to be victorious, that we are to not die in our sin, that we are to live a life in it more abundantly. He's already spoken these good things to us. Because of that, we now have the opportunity to decide that we're going to take what he has given us, the blessing of this new life in Christ, and wear it and own it and possess it as our own. We decide. So this means that we are done as believers. We can be done with complaining. We can be done with living in confusion. We can be done. You can be done with living in sin, going back to that same old habit, that sinful habit that keeps you away from God. You can be free today if you want to. If you decide today that today, on this Sunday morning, I'm deciding that I was once going this way and today I'm going to make an about face and go towards Christ, you can make that decision today. You have the power to do so. And so this two-part series is really empowering the church to stand up and possess and take ownership of the power that God gave us, the power that we read about in Ephesians 3:20, where it says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, say abundantly, say abundantly, above, say above, all that we ask or think according to the power, say power, that works in who? In us. Say power. Say power. Say, I got the power of God working inside of me. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 13, you can put it on the board behind me. Philippians 2:13, it says, for it is God who works in us or in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It is God who works inside of us, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. My question to you is, whose pleasure are you living for? Whose pleasure do you seek? Do you seek your own pleasure? Do you seek the pleasure of those around you? Or do you seek to fulfill and satisfy the pleasure of God? Because if you seek to satisfy the pleasure of God, then guess what? You have God working inside of you in order to fulfill that mission. When you decide, God, I'm going to live for you, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to honor you, when you really decide to do that, then you agree with heaven, and guess what? You have all of heaven behind you helping you in that effort. You have the power of God who created the universe empowering you to help you to live and succeed as a Christian believer. I don't know about you, but that's good news. That's exciting. I feel like shouting over that. We have more than enough. The odds are tilted in our favor. We the game is rigged on our behalf. We cannot lose. Say, I cannot lose. Turn to somebody, say, you cannot lose. Come on, encourage them. Maybe they've been going through a trial. Say, you cannot lose. Say, you will not lose. We have to keep our faith in God. We have to decide in our heart that we're going to walk with God, trust him, and give our all to him. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10, verse number 46. Mark chapter 10, verse number 46. Jesus has just been walking all around, healing people, raising the dead, casting out demons. Jesus was a boss. The Bible says he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. You had a devil, Jesus was casting them out. You had a problem, you had a sickness, maybe even you were born with an ailment, a disease, or some type of handicap, Jesus was healing and restoring people. How many know that Jesus is a healer? How many know that Jesus is the one who heals us? God is the God who heals us. I am the Lord who healeth thee, he said. I am the Lord who healeth thee. We don't have to put all our trust in medicine, although we're thankful for their discoveries and for their efforts. But ultimately, God is the healer. God is the one who we should turn to in brokenness. And it's not limited just to physical healing. This could be mental healing, mental health. It's a crisis. But guess what? God can fix a broken mind. He can fix a broken mind. And that's why it's so important for us to compel people to come to the Lord. Because the healing that they need is right here. It's right here at the foot of the cross. God has the answer to every question. He has the answer. He has the solution for every problem. So Mark chapter 10, verse number 46, Jesus is walking around healing people, and he's on his way to Calvary, to be crucified on the cross. And verse number 6, it says, "Now as they come to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging." So blind Bartimaeus, the name Bartimaeus, just the term Bar just means son of, and Timaeus, that was his dad. And his dad's name was Timaeus, and Timaeus had a meaning to it in ancient times. Names, oftentimes, they had meanings. They had to have a meaning to them. They didn't just name, you know, somebody a random name, you know, like we do now nowadays, because it sounds cute, and we like that name. You know, I'm gonna name her Shaquanda, because I like the name Shaquanda. You know, it just got a nice little ring to it. You know, if your name's Shaquanda, no offense, but I. You know, they had names that had meaning, and the name Timaeus meant someone who was great, someone who was important. But we see here the son of someone important is blind and begging. Blind and begging. And it reminds me of, as Pastor's been talking about, the prodigal son. The son of someone who has some land and an inheritance to give to his child, but the prodigal son ended up in a pig pen, feeding the pigs, hanging out with swine. And so we see here that the son of Timaeus, the son of this important man, is begging, and he's by the roadside begging. Verse number 47, it says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth," because remember, he couldn't see, so he had to hear. He couldn't see. So he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. The fact that blind Bartimaeus acknowledged him as Jesus, son of David, is very significant to the context of this story. Because Jesus, being labeled as the son of David, was literally a revelation that was being proclaimed out of blind Bartimaeus' mouth in real time. Him being named Jesus, son of David, as Jesus was to be the prophesied Messiah who would be of the house of Judah, the son of David, he was saying to him, "I recognize that you are the Messiah. You are the one. You are the one who, you are the one we've been talking about for hundreds of years in Israel. You are the one that we've been waiting for. You are the one, and although I can't see you physically, I can recognize the fact and I can see who you are, even though I can't see you physically." And this is synonymous to us as modern present day believers, because we can't see him physically. But by faith, we must choose, we must decide to recognize him as the one who every issue, every problem, he's the one who's going to solve it. He's the one that I turn to. He's the one that I run to. He's the one that I depend on. He's the one that I put my faith in. He cried out, "Jesus, son of David, the Messiah, the God in the flesh, the King of all kings, the answer to our prayer, to Israel's prayer, have mercy on me." And it says here, verse number 48, "Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Rabboni, that word Rabboni just, it simply means that you're my teacher, you're my instructor, you're the one who gives me the things that I need for life. You're the one I depend on, kind of like a pastor. You're the one I go to for counsel. You're the one that I go to for guidance and spiritual guidance and direction. And he saw Jesus in that kind of way, and he said, that I may receive sight, because Jesus asked him, what can I do for you? And the truth is that Jesus has never stopped asking us, what can I do for you? He's still asking you today, what can I do for you? Bring it to me. What can I present to you? Because you notice Bartimaeus, his initial request was not to receive his sight. His initial request was for Jesus to simply have mercy on him. And that's powerful, because he realized that Jesus was more than just some healer guy. Jesus was the one who could forgive sin. Jesus was the one who could literally wipe away and wash away every problem that he had, every issue that he had. He said, Jesus, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, oh, wait a minute. I'm not going to just have mercy on you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to give you that one thing that you've been waiting for, the reason why you're out here begging in the first place. I'm going to address that. And he said, what can I do for you? And in verse number 51, so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Verse 52, then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. I have five things I want you to take note of. Five things that blind Bartimaeus decided to do once he encountered Jesus. Five things that blind Bartimaeus decided to do. Number one, he decided to not let this moment pass. He decided to not let this moment with Jesus pass. How many times do we just come to church, we go through the motions, and we go about our business the rest of our day, and nothing's changed? How many times do we pray over our food, the same prayer that we've been rattling off for 40 years. We rattle off that prayer, in Jesus' name, amen, and we start eating, start grubbing. The Bible says when you wait on the Lord, he'll renew your strength. When you wait on him, when you take the time to acknowledge his presence, that's why every time I get up to preach, I try to take a moment to acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, I'm just a dude up here on the stage talking. But with the Holy Spirit, I can be able to speak the word of life to someone and their situation be changed. The Holy Spirit makes all the difference. Are you someone who takes God's move, God's presence, for granted? Do not let even this moment right now that you have in this church right now, even if you're watching online on YouTube or whatever, wherever you're watching this, don't let this just be another moment where you just hear the word and you just nod your head and say amen about 15 times and go on about your business. Receive God's word, his life-altering word. Allow the power of God to be present and evident in your life by applying his word to your life. And Bartimaeus took his opportunity. He had one opportunity. He had one crossing with Jesus. In his entire life, he had one opportunity where Jesus was, the Bible says, passing by. And he took that opportunity to cry out to the Lord. The Bible tells us for us to draw near to God while he can be found. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Do you know that you're not always going to be sitting in church like you are right now? You're not always going to be having your Bible on your lap like you have it right now. You're not always going to have this opportunity to be hearing the preaching of the word of life being deposited into you. Draw near to him while he can be found. There's going to be times where you're going to wish you had received the word of God in church. There's going to be times where you're going to wish you had leaned into the Lord. Lean in while you have time now. Lean in while he's drawing near to you. This is a symbiotic relationship that we have with God. He draws near to us, and we draw near to him. We draw near to him, and he draws near to us. It's a dance that we have to have with the Lord. There's times where the Holy Spirit will press in my heart, you need to pray in the Spirit right now. And I'd say, okay, I can go and pray in the Spirit under my breath. Maybe I'm at work. Maybe I'm in the car. I'm just going to pray in the Spirit under my breath. I don't know what I'm praying for. Maybe I'm praying for somebody in the congregation. Maybe I'm praying for, my children. I don't know what I'm praying for, but I'm going to go ahead and take this opportunity, not let it pass me by. There's times where God will give you an opportunity for you to share your faith with somebody. And he said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there. And he's passing by and he's saying, all right, this is your opportunity right now for you to share. I'm here. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's do it. This is the opportunity. This person that you've been wanting to come to faith in Christ, this is your opportunity right now. The door is open. The door is open. The window is open. The window is open. And so Bartimaeus took the opportunity. He did not let the moments pass him by. Number two, he decided to not listen to the crowd. In verse 48, he did not listen to the crowd. The crowd told him to be quiet, told him to lower his voice. And the Bible says that instead of lowering his voice, instead of being quiet, he shouted out all the more. He said, Jesus. He did not listen to the crowd. Do you know that if you live and die by the approval of the crowd, you're going to live a life of misery? You get on your social media and say, hey, guys, should I color my hair blue? And everybody responds and says, yeah, color your hair blue. Then you get back on social media the next week. Hey, guys, I'm thinking about going red. Yeah, go red. Then people are complaining. I don't know why she did that with color her hair red. Well, hey, guys, I'm thinking about going orange with it this time. What y'all think? Yeah, go orange with it. Next thing you know, your hair is falling out. Sometimes we put way too much stock in popular opinion. Paul said it like this in Galatians 1, verse number 10. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be a Christ servant. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people. I'm not trying to appease the multitudes. This will get you in trouble. Trying to fit in. Do you know, as a believer, as a Christian, you are not called to fit in? You are called to stand out. You are called to be like a Bartimaeus. You are called to be the one who's making the noise, who's praising Jesus. To be the one who's calling on the Lord when everybody else is in confusion and doesn't know what to do. The third thing Bartimaeus decided to do, he decided to throw off his garment or his cloak. In verse 50, it says, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. This is easy to just kind of breeze past. We need to take a moment to examine this, because in those days, individuals with certain conditions, they had certain type of garments that they would have to wear. And he, by all accounts, his garment was part of his identity. I'm sure he had been in that position for quite some time, begging as a blind man, as a crippled man. I'm sure he was in that position for quite a while, and he had got pretty comfortable. And he was probably well known as blind Bartimaeus. Oh yeah, that's blind Bartimaeus. Yeah, that's blind Bart. Yeah, that's yeah. He just hangs out. He begs from 9 to 5. He'll be outside the temple begging because he knows everybody comes in there with their offering. So he figured he gonna get them on the way in. That's blind Bartimaeus. He's just blind, and that's just what he does. But the Bible says that once he heard the word of Jesus to come, he threw off his garment. He threw off his identity as being just blind Bartimaeus. He threw off what everyone had labeled him and known him to be. He threw off what the world expected him to be. And I don't know who you are today, but I believe there's some people in this place who you have been wearing a garment. You have been labeled as just that's the alcoholic. Just that's the liar. Oh, that's just the person that can't stay committed, can't stay in a relationship. And I want to encourage you today to decide to throw that thing off. I want to encourage you today, whatever it is, you know, it could be fear, it could be anxiety, whatever you have been wearing as your identity, you need to throw that thing off today. Turn to somebody and say, throw it off. He had to throw, before he could get up, he had to throw it off. Before he could go and make personal contact with Jesus, he had to throw that thing off. He had to throw off. Just some of you need to throw off the anger. Some of you need to throw off the fear. Some of you need to throw off the complaining, like I mentioned earlier. Some of you need to throw off the religiousness. Some of y'all just too religious for your own good. You are so religious, Jesus don't even want to talk to you. Jesus don't even want to hear your prayers. Tired of you and your religious prayers. You need to throw that off and say, God, I need a fresh encounter with you today. He's passing by. Don't miss the opportunity. Bartimaeus had to he threw off his garment. And the fourth thing I have for you is he decided to bring his ailment to God. Remember, God, Jesus asked him, what can I do for you? And he's asking the same thing to you. He's asking the same thing to us, his church, his bride. What can I do? How can I help you? I'm here to help. I'm here to serve. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And this is the thing. Bartimaeus, he said, I want to see. Don't be afraid of asking God for help. God wants to help you. You may have an addiction. You may have a problem, a vice, something that's got a grip on you. You need to realize that you have the help of God now. You're a Christian now. You have help. You have power now. And you can decide, I'm going to give this thing to God. I'm going to say, God, I've tried everything else. I've tried all the therapy. I've tried all the programs. But God, I'm going to try you. I'm going to turn to you. And I want to see, Bartimaeus said, I want to see. I want to see. And Bartimaeus, I believe he saw before he even saw. I believe he saw himself healed before he even saw himself. Before he saw Jesus as his healer. We have to be that way with God. We have to be willing to say, God, you know what? I've been struggling with these things. I've been dealing with these people. I've been dealing with, and God, but I'm bringing them to you. And Bartimaeus asked, and the Bible says that we have not because we don't ask. James chapter 4, verse number 2, it says, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. This is so rudimentary, but we struggle with this. Because it's easier for us to watch a YouTube video and try to figure it out on our own. It's easier for us to just put all our trust in medicine, and you're taking all that medicine. And you got a medicine cabinet full of pills. It's easier to just say, you know what? I see a doctor in front of me. I'm going to ask the doctor what I need to do. And we're not throwing any shade on doctors. Thank God for doctors. But God is saying, will you just bring that thing to me? It's kind of like with my children. They're playing with something and they're trying to fix something. And, you know, my son just the other day, he had my phone. I don't know how he got my phone, but he ended up with my phone. I think he pickpocketed me. I think I might have a problem in the house, a pickpocketer. And he had my phone and he got it unlocked. So pray for me. And he had my phone and he was playing a game on it or something. And then the phone, I don't know what the game was, but the phone froze up. And he said, Dad, I don't know what happened, but fix it. Sometimes we need to be like that with our Heavenly Father. Say, God, I don't know what happened. I don't know how I got here, but I know you can fix it. So fix it. I feel like Bartimaeus, he's like, I ain't got nothing, nothing else to do but cry out to Jesus. And Jesus said, what can I do for you? And he said, I want to see. Number five, he decided to follow Jesus. Verse number 52, it says, go your faith. Jesus told him to go his way. Your faith has made you well. Jesus didn't tell him you need to come and follow me. And it says, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. If God answers all your prayers, will you be closer to God or will you walk away from him? He received his sight. I can see now. Hey, life in 3D. And with his sight, instead of walking away, going, getting a job, doing all these cool stuff he could do, looking at flowers and painting paintings and all this stuff. Instead of doing that with his sight, with the blessing, he took it and he honored God and he followed him. He said, now I can see, so now I can follow Jesus. With his sight, he followed Jesus. And I believe Jesus knew that he was going to do that. He said, you go your way. You go on, blind Bartimaeus. You're not blind anymore. We're not even going to call you blind Bartimaeus. You're just Bartimaeus now. But instead of going on his own way, he said, I'm going to follow Jesus. And we have to be people who are going to follow Jesus no matter what. We have to be committed. I don't care. I don't care if everything that I ever wanted is answered, is done and settled, and I have no need. I'm going to still pursue Jesus with a passion just like I did when I was blind. I'm going to still cry out to God. I'm going to still seek the Lord just like I did when I was desperate. And that's the problem sometimes with the church is we lose that sense of desperateness where we were once so desperate for the Lord. We were once in such a condition where we had nowhere else to turn to. I had nothing else to do. All I could do was cry to the Lord, and he heard, and then he answered your cry. He heard your cry. And now you're feeling yourself a little bit. And you don't feel like you need to go to church quite as much. I don't need to go every Sunday anymore. I got a new car now. I got a new job. I got a new career now. My schedule is filled up a little bit. You got a new crib now. You got to buy another new artwork painting to put on the wall. And you got all these other things you got to do now. And you've forgotten that you were supposed to follow him with all those things. In all you do, do it all to the glory of God. So Bartimaeus decided to follow Jesus. He decided to follow Jesus. And Jesus healed Bartimaeus on his way to Calvary, on his way to Jerusalem. He encountered Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, being blind, all he needed to do was hear that Jesus was walking by. And he decided to respond in faith. And that's what we need to do. Every time God gives us a tug in our heart, and some of you, you're getting a tug today in your heart, you need to respond in faith and say, I'm not going to just settle with mediocrity. I'm going to lean into the Lord. I'm going to decide to pursue God with fresh legs, with a new renewed spirit in this new season in 2026. I'm going to decide that I'm going to lean into the Lord like I never have before. I'm going to decide that I'm going to pursue God like I never have before. And when you do, you will receive your own proverbial sight. You will receive your own breakthrough, your own manifestation of your healing. God is waiting for you. I don't know who you are in this place, and I don't know what you've been through. And yeah, I know some of you have been through difficult situations, hard. You've had a hard year, some of you. But guess what? God is not walking by just to leave you in that same state. When you encounter Jesus, something should change. When you come to church, something should be changed. But you have to decide that you want that. You want that change. Go and stand on your feet. There's some things in your life, each and every one of you this week, you're going to have to decide. Before we turn the page into 2026, there are some things, close your eyes, there are some things in your life, each and every one of us are going to have to decide. God is placing, he's saying, you know what? I'm putting the ball in your court. You tell me what you want your life to look like in this new year. You tell me what you would like for me to do in your life in this new year. But it's not just us giving a command to God and walking away. It's actually us walking by faith with God, saying, God, we're going to be obedient to your word as we believe for you to do this new thing. And so with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity right now to confess and decree over your own life that you're going to decide once and for all, you're going to decide once and for all to make a difference, to do that thing that you've been waiting. Some of y'all been on the precipice, on the brink of doing something great. On the brink of starting a business, on the brink of going back to school, you've been waiting at the starting line, but you have not gone yet. I'm telling you right now, you got to make that decision now. You have to act in faith. You have to start, and you got to decide that you're going to start. So repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, right now, I decide. Say, I decide to change the narrative. I decide to turn the page. Lord God, thank you for giving me the privilege to decide. I want to see a change in my life, in my household, in my mind, in my heart. And right now, I decide that change has come. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God praise like you already believe it's done. Come on, give God praise. Give God praise. Come on, some of you, it's healing. You need to receive it now. You've been dealing with that sickness for too long. It's time to receive it now. Some of you, it's a breakthrough, financial breakthrough. You need to receive it now. Say it's over. Say it's over. Say it's over. Amen. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Lord God, I thank you for not passing us by and leaving us the way that we were, the way that you found us. God, you love us so much. You don't leave us the way that we've been. You give us an opportunity to receive real lasting change in our life. And God, I pray right now for your people. Lord God, I pray that we will turn to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, and that you will give us, you will supply us with every one of our needs, that you will perfect those things that concern us, that you will heal us, that you will restore us. God, our relationships, Lord, that you're restoring relationships. Lord, I pray that you're fixing and mending broken hearts, God. Lord, I pray for your people that you're helping us to break free from vices and weights and sins that keep us distant away from you, God. Lord, I thank you for your work, for your power at work in this place. Holy Spirit, we depend on you. We call on you for the help that we need. In Jesus' name.